The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 577 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper and joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, and Colton Sweat. Almost said Blue Basket. I almost let it slip, but it didn't.
You almost said my summoner name, which would have been detrimental and you would have doxed me.
I would have doxed you, but I didn't, so you're welcome.
Thank you for that.
You can appreciate that.
Of course.
So that'll be $350.
No, I don't have money. I'm poor.
I'm lucky. All right, on this episode, we've got some LeagueCast news, a new patron, a decent amount of new news, including a new patch. We'll hear from our sponsors at Nord once again, and then we'll talk about, I think, Senna for quite a little bit, and then we'll move into Roundtable and Mail Fight. Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. I've played a little bit of... duo queue. I've been boosting my friends a little bit, doing a little fun games. And then I started playing solo queue on my main account last night, and those games went interestingly. I got inted my first game, actually inted, not using it improperly. Our last pick locked in Rise support at the end, and then at the last second he switched to Ghost Cleanse. And then we uncovered the mystery throughout the game of like why he did this, and it's because our jungler was in his game the game prior, and he didn't gank him enough. They won, by the way. He just didn't gank him enough, and he they won. The jungler carried, and he was mad.
Curious.
So so I lost that game, and then game two is like a bit of a mess, and then game three we won. I got 31 points, so we're good.
It's 31.
You got 32.
Nice. I got 32 points, even better. I went one win, two losses, up 32 because I had, or up 31 because I was 1 point master tier. So
imagine how quickly I would get banned if I inted for junglers not getting my lane.
Yeah. It was fun though. I still like League. I just think it's a little frustrating sometimes, but overall good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, as a jungler who's won games with players like that, you'd be surprised how many people are like that toxic about like, you didn't play around my lane is the win con, even though you got 24 kills and a dragon soul.
I don't know if I mentioned it just on the pod or if I just mentioned it to Trevor. Nico, you got it.
No, it's okay. Sorry. I was just going to say, it just feels bad to be doing poorly in League.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I mentioned on the pod or if I mentioned it to Trevor and like talking, but I had this like Nautilus one trick. He's like on a Smurf account. He's like, he said it was his tryhard account, and he's fucking roaming around the map. He's playing the best on our entire team. He like actually solo carried that game, in my opinion, right? And because he left lane, his AD carry fucking killed herself like four times. She just lost her mind. Yeah. She's like, she's just like spam pinging him. He's like fucking 0-1-12 or something, right? He's fucking carrying, and she's like, leave lane again, I will fucking ruin the game. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I just thought I'd play around. Like, he's like trying to explain it, he's being nice. She's like, leave lane again, I will fucking end the game. And he's like, okay, I'll play around you then, right? So he starts playing around her, and then she dies again. She fucking goes, no, fucking, I'm losing you the game. You don't deserve to win. And she like started killing herself, and it's like, he eventually was carrying so hard that she like decided, people care about LP way more than they care about being righteous a lot of the time. So she turned it around like, and she like played, but he had to fucking just suck her dick so fucking hard to make her want to win the game. And it's like, I messaged him after. I'm like, holy shit, dude, thank you for talking her off the ledge. Like, you won us this game not only because you played well, but because you talked our crazy person off the ledge. And it's just insane that she's so mad, even though he's playing well, she would rather lose the game because she's not getting to have fun.
Yeah, it's wild.
I don't know. It League's a fucking social game as well. It's crazy.
True, actually true.
But yeah, outside of that, not too much. Gonna keep playing on my main a little bit. I think my gains are crazy. So as long, I think if I can get out of this like 0 to 50 LP range, I think I can climb for sure. I just think it's like also super possible for me to just lose 3 games and get demoted. But like on a like 50 game sample size, I think I'll climb overall. I'm just worried about these first like 10 to 15. You know what I mean?
Tell me about it. I'll talk about that another week.
But other than that, it's kind of my week. I do want to talk about some characters, but we'll talk about them in the discussion. Then some LeagueCast news, tournament update. We'll talk about that soon as well. But what about you, Colton?
Poggers.
Yeah. So I also played a good amount of ranked this week. I got up to like 120 points and then lost like 2 games and lost all of those points. And by 2 games, I think I was actually minus like 4. It was very frustrating though, because I was like, one day I think I played 15 games and was like minus 2 wins over losses. So I had like, what would that be like? I was 7 wins, 9 losses, and it was like minus 80 because of the LP differences, which like was a huge bummer. And then I was just like, then I like lost like 6 in a row. Got down to plat 2, bounced back into
D2. We're not at the plat 2 arc yet.
Not yet. So I've been bouncing between D2 and D1 now. I think I've done it like 3 or 4 times. Which I don't know. According to Trevor, that's really bad for your MMR. It doesn't make any sense why it would mean anything for your MMR, because you're like promoting and demoting an equal number of times.
I do want to say, like, I just want to jump in really quick on that, Colton. I do think there is some sort of bug with like promoting and demoting. Like it acts weird for sure. And I mean, like, obviously if you fucking demote from D4 to plat 1, it should like affect your MMR. But like, Trevor demoted from D4 to plat 1, his gains went from like 25 to like 17 immediately, like 1 game difference, because he demoted, and then that's as soon as insane. He got back, it immediately like fixed, and it's like, that feels like it shouldn't do that, right?
Yeah, it shouldn't do that. And like, I can see a little bit of an angle where like you can argue that demoting should lower you more than promoting does, just because you get like that loss prevention, where like if you're at 1 LP and you lose, you don't get demoted and then end at like 80. You go down to 0 and you have to lose again, right? So like, in that weird instance, if that keeps happening, like you could have like 5 less wins than losses, but have stayed neutral. But I don't know. It's been interesting. I played one night like 5 or 6 games to support. I think I got an S every single game, but I think I also lost like 4 games in a row, which was so frustrating. Like I played like a Thresh game that I was like, I think I had like 27 or some like ridiculous number of assists. I ended up with like 8 deaths because it was just like a long game where we had Soul, we had Baron, and like they had, there's, I don't know, their team scaled well, and we were just team fighting so bad. But yeah, I've still been playing a lot. Probably going to get back on the jungle train. I played 2 games yesterday where, like, the first game, I ended up, like, randomly trio... Well, not randomly, like, Aiden and Trevor were duoing, and I queued up at the same time. We got a little trio queue action, and we just rolled them, which was a lot of fun. And then later in the night, I played one more game where I did basically nothing all game, and then our top laner, who is chat-restricted, adds me after the game and was like, hey, I just want to say that like I'm chat restricted, so I couldn't say this in game, but like I think you did a really good job, and like, you know, you saved my lane, because like after one gank I would have, like, it would have been over. And I didn't like, I didn't even necessarily gank his lane, like I was messing around like with their jungler over a scuttle crab, and like he roamed down and picked up the kill, and that got him ahead. And then like I showed up to, they were diving him, but he outplayed them 2v1 and got the double kill, like, right as I arrived. And he was, like, spam pinging me, which I thought he was flaming me. But apparently, after the game, he was like, great job, great job. And I was like, I didn't even... I got 0 assists. Like, I was just there. Like, it was, like, a 30-minute, like, 30-kill game, and I ended with 7 KP. And I was just so confused at this player, where I'm like, you're a little delusional, but, like, at least you're positive. And it's wild that that's such a rare experience in the game. Like, I get somebody, like, flaming me for that same game 90% of the time. But
maybe he was, maybe he turned over a new leaf and instead of flaming you, he was going to flame you, but he's already chat restricted, right? So it just like replaced his flame with positivity.
It seemed pretty genuine, and like he had said that he was chat restricted because he described a certain character with a certain six letter C word. He was describing Gangplank.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's actually why he got chat restricted, but I don't know. It was just one of those very rare experiences in League where you're like, oh, the person who adds you after the game is there to say a nice thing, not a mean thing. And like he was just pinging me all game, so I thought he was flaming me. I was like, when he sent the first message, I was just like, he's trolling me, right? Like, this is pure sarcasm. You just come to expect that. So that was a nice positive interaction in League. Yeah, that's about it. We played some flex games last night that I played very poorly in. I think we all ended up a little bit tilted, but that's not fun to talk about. So I'll hand it over to the one, the only, Nick.
Hello. I played a pretty good amount of League this week. I think over the course of a week, I'm up like a lot of LP, like 300 LP maybe. I hit Masters. I don't know where I was last week, but played a bunch with Aiden. We played a lot of Senna Cho. The combo's super, super, super good.
Tell me I haven't fucking been talking about it for a year.
No, it's crazy. I also don't think the characters individually have been that good for a year. I think buffing both of them on the same patch helped.
I do think Senna's like one of the best characters in the game. We'll talk about that later. But like I do think
she's
that like
super good right now.
It's easy to see how they both were definitely playable and no one was playing them before this, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that happened. I have since lost three games in Masters, so I'm at zero LP, and my next game will either give me LP or demote me. But I'm not too worried about it. I didn't have a ton of issue hitting it. I guess after doing, of course, but that just means more Senna Cho.
I was gonna say, worst case scenario, you get to play with your friends if you demote. Yeah. Like that's what I've been fucking thinking, man. It's so fucking miserable that you can't do in Master Plus. But
yeah, and I don't know. I'm not too worried about it. I mean, worst case scenario, like what I end D4 zero LP. Oh no, I hit Masters in the season. I feel like I played pretty well, so I'm hoping to climb, but I'm not gonna be like too upset. So we'll see how it goes. I've been enjoying that. Also been enjoying not playing League. I played a ton of Nier Replicant this week, making super good progress in the game. It's fantastic. To the guy who said he would pay me $60 if I got every single item and upgraded every weapon, please just keep your $60. I'd rather die. Trying to farm in that game is one of the worst experiences I've ever had. So it's not a good time. But otherwise, it's the story is super, super good. So I think that's about it. We can get into the show. Shout out to Zach, our newest patron. Thank you guys. Thank you for your support. Aiden, do we have any League Cast news?
We
got a bunch.
Good amount, yeah. The biggest thing is that, hey, I talked about a 5v5 tournament last week for gold for like below. I am pushing that a week. People very quickly informed me that this weekend is Clash, and so my tournament would be going on during Clash, and I feel like as soon as a 5-stack figures that out, they'd much rather go play Clash. So it's
Aiden doesn't want to interfere with Riot. He knows that they'll
shut me down, dude. They'll fucking Clash, pull the plug from my tournament.
Well, it's like trying to stream anything during the LCS, right?
Yeah.
And you're the LCS in this scenario.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. So it's being moved to March 18th with sign up. Last date for signups is on Friday, March 10th, and then the teams will be posted on Sunday, March 12th. So please, if you are, this is a gold 4 cap tournament, so gold 4 and below. It's kind of meant as like a thank you to like all the people who signed up for like the like iron, bronze, silver leagues that didn't get like a team. I think we already have 4 full teams signed up, and then like maybe like one or two makeshift teams. So please sign up. If you're just like a single gold player and you have a bunch of friends, like gold four player and you have a bunch of friends, sign up as a team. They don't have to be part of a Discord. They can come hang out, have a good time. There's no prize for tournament, so it's not super competitive, but please gold four cap tournament. If you're anyone, sign up. You can sign up solo, duo, trio, or as a five stack, and we'll place you on a team. Please sign up. The last day to sign up is Friday, March 10th. And the tournament is on Saturday, March 18th, at 4 EST is when it starts. It'll be like 3 hours or so.
Mm-hmm. I think I have seen a few questions in the Discord, like, what if I'm X rank, or what if I was this last season, or I normally get to this? I mean, again, gold 4 cap is currently where we're at. I think generally, like, if you are silver 1 right now, but you ended plat 1 last season and know you're a plat 1 player, this probably is not the tournament for you. Yeah. Like, use your best judgment.
Yeah, no, it is. I've talked to a couple people about it, because people have messaged me. They're like, hey, like, man, I just hit like gold 3 for the first time. The rest of my team is all like silver players. Is it okay if I play? And I'm like, yeah, it's like, once again, like, the main thing I just don't want, the reason why this is a gold 4 cap is it's supposed to just be, you don't just sign up with your fucking plat team and then the iron, bronze, silver team has like no chance and no fun, right? That's the whole point. That's why I also made it so that if you're above gold 4, if you're gold 3, gold 2, or gold 1, you're allowed to sign up as a fill. And if I need someone to fill on a team on Saturday, if someone doesn't show up, then I'll grab one of you guys. And it's like, yeah, they're better players, like, and they're exceeding the cap, but I just want it to be fun for everyone. So
I would also as a little nod to our experience in Flexnest last night, just because you're a high rank does not mean you're gonna win in a competition.
Yeah, those are the three like lowest ranked teams that we've played against. I do think a couple of them were smurfing, but like still they fucking dumpstered us. But
did it end up being the same team in the second game after
there was like two same players?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So it wasn't even a five stack. They swapped out three players.
They were like all like a D4 to, they had like one master player, I think, but
yeah, I just played super well.
Yeah, but anyways, please sign up if you're interested at all. It will be a fun tournament, and it's not super serious. Just use your best judgment when signing up. So,
Poggers.
Nice.
We want to move into the new news?
Yeah.
Yo, we got some dev thoughts.
Yeah, we got dev thoughts, right? About how they want to...
most of this is boring as shit.
The game.
Yeah, like most of it's like literally like, hey, we nerfed early kill experience and it made roaming characters less good, so we're gonna buff those. And it's like, okay, who cares? They're gonna nerf lethality mythics. The most interesting part, and I think this is super fucking interesting, is they've talked about their buff strategy. So currently they do a bunch of buffs called bucket changes, so it allows them to nerf and buff a bunch of things, and it's purely based on stats, right? Like, for example, this character is 48% win rate, so we're gonna give them stats, slight changes, like, you know, like the classic plus 20 seconds or minus 20 seconds on their ultimate at rank 3, minus 10 at rank 2, same at rank 1, right? Like, they have these, like, very standardized, like, boilerplate changes that they'll introduce to characters, like minus 2 AD, plus 2 AD, and these are bucket changes that they can just mass apply to characters to give them an idea of, like, a winner. If you listen to any Freaks VODs, Freaks, like, patch things, he'll go, this change is intended to increase their win rate by 2%, right? And those are, like, kind of the bucket changes where they go, hey, we're gonna apply this without thinking about it much, and it should just bump them up a little bit, right? And pretty well what they said is that this fucking isn't great. Like, it's just not a good way of balancing characters. It's fine, but like, the reality is doing larger scale changes, like the upcoming Pantheon and Azir changes, are way more interesting, get people way more excited. Fucking patches kind of feel like just this boring thing to like read through when you're doing like just a ton of bucket changes, and it leads to like, I mean, today, like, Nick was meme, he's like, oh, Zaya's nerfed, she's unplayable. Yeah. And she got like minus 5 damage on her E and one other thing, like
plus 1 second,
1 second under cooldown. And that's so fucking obviously a bucket change, right? It's a, hey, we're gonna slightly tap this to lower her win rate potentially 1%, right? And rather than if they went through it, they might go, okay, Zaya is currently building Navoria as her main item, so we're gonna actually up her E cooldown by a fair bit, but maybe we're gonna give her some more damage on whatever, right? And that would be like a more thought out change rather than this like kind of boilerplate lower her win rate by 1%, we're happy.
Yeah, and I think that there's definitely a place for both types of changes, and I think generally this change is really good for when something is like egregiously strong and you need to quickly remedy that for like competitive integrity and for people to enjoy the game, Right, where it's like Zaya wasn't ever at 57% win rate or something actually obscene, but like let's say there's a strategy that's like, you know, 55-56% win rate across a pretty good sample size, like it's fine to just nerf that with a boilerplate thing to get it down, and then hopefully what follows is they're going to figure out a better way to adjust the system that's being abused or change the mechanic or rework the ability that's causing the problem. And I think, like you were saying, that's a much better way to balance the game. You know, let's use Yumi as an example, right? Where it's like, she was very, very, very good in competitive. And the way that they, air quotes, fixed it was just making all of her numbers just garbage bad.
Yeah.
And that is not a fun way to do it. And now nobody plays Yumi, and they're going to do a rework. And then hopefully she'll be playable again. But, like, that's, I think, fine in a short term. I think maybe this was a little bit too, like, drastic or too long. But, like, you know, generally, if there's a character that's too strong or too weak, I would say majority of the time, there's something else wrong besides just the numbers of damage or cooldowns. It's like X mechanic is too strong, or this just interacts with the meta in a certain way that's really problematic. Right, you know, like, is Zaya OP right now because she deals too much damage? No, I think she deals comparable damage to a lot of AD carries. I don't think it's that she does too much damage. Is it because she's got too much push? No, there are other characters that can push just as fast as her in the bot lane. What makes her stupidly strong is that it's a very bot-centric meta, and it's impossible to gank her after level 6 and, like, late-game teamfights. She's going to make your assassin feel completely useless. Like, that is, to me, the issue, is, like, her ultimate. And so, you know, do you change how the ultimate works? Do you add cooldown to it? Or maybe I'm wrong, and maybe the issue is her interaction with Navori, right? Like, I'm not a professional balance team person, but, like, it's probably not that her E does 5 too many damage is the issue with Zaya. And so, you know, I think that generally trying to find out what those underlying mechanics are that are the issue, whether it be that they're too strong or just not fun to play against, or, you know, maybe there is counterplay but only at a very high level, or, you know, whatever it is, there's so many factors that can go into balance. But yeah, you know, I think generally trying to, like, rework a mechanic or how an ability functions is going to give better results and feel better than doing those tiny changes like +2 AD. That being said, there are characters whose kits are totally fine and you can just make those adjustments. Like, I think Caitlyn is very strong. I think her kit works fine, and, like, -1 AD if she's a little bit too strong is totally fine, right? Or, like, we're going to lower the base damage of her Q by 10. You know, there's two sides of it, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. I think that's it for the dev thoughts, right? So we've got next up is Milio, the upcoming champion. His abilities were, I guess, revealed, and we can run through them pretty quickly and give our quick thoughts. Passively, he enchants allies. His abilities enchant allies when they interact with them, and their next damage will deal a burst of extra damage and burn the target. His Q, he kicks a ball that knocks back an enemy. The ball launches upward on hit and falls towards the enemy, damaging and slowing enemies in the area. His W, he creates an empowering zone that heals allies and increases the attack range to those inside. The zone follows the ally closest to the cast point, and you can recast it to follow, you know, someone else, or to move it around. His E is warm hugs. He just shields someone and makes them run fast. It looks like there may be a recast mechanic on this, but I'm not 100% sure. And his ultimate is he can heal and remove crowd control from allies in range, which sounds super, super OP. It's a little bit mitigated by the fact that he can't cast it while he is CC'd. So that's the counterplay there. No Yumi situation.
And I would think it probably is not a massive AoE.
It's like a Mumu size.
Yeah, it's pretty sizable, but you do have to be pretty close to
it. Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like I immediately see the Reddit comments of like, oh, he's in a Moomoo counter, Moomoo ults, you counter it. It's like, you're never hitting like the Dream Milio ult because you can't cleanse yourself, right? So you have to be in like a Moomoo ult range, but you also have to be behind your team that's being CC'd without being CC'd yourself, right? So like it's a
like
good
you have to wait for a Moomoo ult and then flash it.
Yeah, it's like a good ability, but it's definitely not like people are like, holy fuck, this is OP. It's very strong and apparently has a very long cooldown though.
Yeah,
it's supposed to have a long cooldown. Mm-hmm.
I would also like remind people that I imagine it's not going to cleanse suppressions or knockups.
They show it cleansing Urgot ult.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay, that's
it's a good ability. It's without a doubt a good ability. I just don't think it's like the game changing like anti Amumu ult ability, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll have to see. Thoughts. I am a little wary only about his ability to increase ally range. I think range is a really wonky thing to play with, and I'm not a super fan of increasing attack range for a lot of characters, but we'll have to see how it plays out. Maybe it can be targetable and you can kill it or something like
what
that.
What if I told you Caitlyn can outrange turrets after?
Yeah, so it's 780 is her range when this ability is max rank. It does scale with rank from 10 to 20%.
There's no way you're maxing it
but
first.
20%... Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on how powerful the range needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Or how strong his other abilities are, right? Like if his shield is pretty a value point at level just at 1.
I spent way more from a game design perspective.
Yeah.
You probably don't want that ability
it,
to be
it
the max.
Should
ability,
not,
right?
Yes. It should not be his first ability. But we'll see. We'll see.
Milio Senna bot lane.
Yeah. Milio Senna, Milio Nyla seems good, but then the range is super, super small.
And 10% on melee characters is still big, man. It's still 30, right? Or when it's 20% is 60. 60 range is not bad for a melee character.
Which then I think increases her Q as well, the cleave, with the attack range. So we'll see. I don't know. It's a bit too early to say. Not a fan of the range increase, but everything else looks super, super cool. Big fan of the ultimate. I think it's a flashy playmaking ultimate that doesn't win you the game the way that Renata does. It's different, you know, but it's equally as powerful.
Yeah, it is this interesting thing where he's probably the most simple character they've released since I would say Sett's probably the next most simple character, right?
Yeah.
And I would say Sett's more complex than him. But he has a lot of stuff in his kit for being very simple, which is always a very spooky thing, I would say. I think he's it's hard to say, once again, I'm speculating without seeing numbers, without seeing all that stuff. It's hard to say that he's going to be weak because how simple he looks and how much he provides while being simple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to fail when you have two abilities that heal, an ability that increases range, a shield, and then, that doesn't even talk about any damage that he can provide. So it is a little scary, but we'll see.
Who knows? Maybe he'll have the lowest base health in the game. They could do shit like that. You know what I mean? There's a lot of them we don't know. It's just he's very, I would think he's probably overloaded in his kit for how simple he is, but we'll see.
Based on paper, on paper. Absolutely. Yeah. So we'll see.
Cool,
we'll have to see how it goes.
I mean, fucking all the dialogue and shit is like, hey, we realized we have no like children male characters.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, which is a, Yeah, it's interesting. I like his design a lot. His outfit, I don't know how to describe it. It has eyes on it, which is really cool. I don't know how to describe that, but on his or at least in his splash art, he does.
He's cool.
His little shirt has. Maybe they're not eyes.
They're little beads or something, right?
Yeah, they're probably just little gems or whatever. But I thought it was eyes, the shirt looking up at him.
Yeah.
Very funny. That's Milio, and we'll get into patch 13.5, I think, is next.
This is a boring fucking patch, by the way.
Lots of changes, none of which are super interesting. Hey, the Yumi rework is going live. Every single ability is being adjusted. I think probably go look it up if you're interested. Essentially she's going to have to be more proactive. She's going to have to do stuff. You can't just sit on, you know, characters and make them giga strong, OP.
So,
she has a best friend mechanic where you get rewarded for staying on the same character. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty well so to stop it. Like, so, like, you can't just lose lane with her, then be switched to the strongest character in the game.
Go to the jungler, yeah.
I do think one of those things, so I think she actually, like, might be decent. I'm still a little bit scared of her. The only thing that I've seen fucking zero people talk about is she's the only support in the game with zero hard CC.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's not very many characters in the game that don't have hard CC regardless, and obviously on a support role you want utility, but she's the only support in the game that doesn't have hard CC, which is so weird.
Interesting. Yeah, they took that away and replaced it with a slow, and now her ultimate heals and does damage to targets, to allies and enemies in the line.
And I think you're a little confused because I play Kog'Maw.
True. I do think it's interesting because, like, I think...
And MF support. MF support's an actual argument.
It's hard to say, like, that she's going to be good when she doesn't have any hard CC as to support, and she, like, provides less utility than she used to. But, like, I also think all of her abilities are good.
Yeah, I mean, the root of what a lot of people have highlighted is the untarget ability, right? And that still exists within the kit. She is a little bit more proactive. Her heal is... The big heal is now being switched to a big shield. She still has some healing, but it's going to be a lot lower than it was previously. So I think this is a really, like, solid direction to move the character in. For a character like this, it's always going to be a little worrisome, right? She's either going to be, like, super, super OP or probably unplayable. So we'll see. Cool. Up next, Aatrox says W cooldown is decreased late. The slow now increases with rank, and the ultimate bonus AD granted is increased later.
Guys, Aatrox hasn't been small playable for 6 weeks. So.
Yeah, definitely don't go Black Cleaver into Iceborne.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Aatrox hasn't been the number one best undisputed top laner for 3 days. Let's bust.
I don't know. I fucking hate that character.
I think he's still so good.
You're saying that to someone who has been probably the loudest Aatrox hater that we know.
He hated his design since day one. That was the biggest thing.
I just he just has so much in his kit. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Ash is next. The Q mana cost has been decreased. The empowered duration is increased. W base damage is decreased. And R cooldown is increased early but decreased late. So some changes to, I think, the intent make her a little bit weaker in the support role. I don't know if this does.
I mean, it definitely pushes her that way. Like the cooldown changes are big.
It's a good start.
She never hit 16 as support, right? So, like, I mean, I guess that doesn't. It's 10 seconds difference, like, which isn't that crazy because you're building ability case. It's not that big of a nerf anyway. The biggest change that they were,
I don't think it's
that they were going to go through. Sorry, that they didn't go through with was they were going to make her Q a cooldown, which I thought would definitely fucking just turbo put her out of support because then you'd, like, want to go Navori on her to make her Q, like, have no cooldown. But they decided not to do that.
Well,
so.
I think with support Ash, a lot of times you don't even, like, put points into Q.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if her Q becomes a better ability because you get to have a 100% uptime with Navori, then, like, it forces more people to play her. It doesn't make her support weaker, but it makes her AD carry way more desirable, right?
That's true, yeah. I don't really know what this is going to do. I feel like it's probably not going to be enough. I straight up don't know why the ultimate is as low cooldown as it is. Even level one, 100 seconds seems insane. So we'll see. Maybe they'll have more of those focus changes instead of bucket changes in the future.
Next is Aurelion Soul, which we talked about actually last week with Lol Soul. But it's just a slight nerf to his base stats, his health growth and his armor growth, and then his Q damage is getting a ratio nerf. So less, like, late game, like, huge Q stacks, but I don't think this will affect him that much. He's definitely, like, one of the better mid laners in the game. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So next up is Azir. His every single ability except his ultimate has been changed. And I'm pretty sure this is supposed to weaken his early game, compensate his late game. They want to push him away from early Q poke and, you know, spamming soldiers to raise his overall DPS, like just hitting soldiers. And then they updated his base stats to bring back Gnasher's Tooth as a viable option, as well as more auto attack damage in case his soldiers aren't in range. And his passive turret is being buffed as well. So pretty drastic changes for Azir. I think this is going to be a fine change in the long run. But in the short run, I bet this character just fucking tanks, tanks win rate.
Like, I'm not saying pro players know everything, but Showmaker was talking about it and he thinks this is a buff to his ear.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like the play style changes entirely, mm-hmm. right? Cause if you're able to keep up, if you're able to scale and keep up, soldiers, this is probably a buff. It's just like, can you do that in solo queue? As a silver player, right? Yeah.
I have negative thoughts on Azir. The only thing I think is cool about this is I like the idea of making his passive like weaker, but like happens way more often. Because like I don't know, man, Azir gets like fucking three turrets in a game usually. So like hopefully that'll make him have like a couple more. Because I think it's a cool mechanic.
I almost feel like this should just be a different character, and his passive should just be something else. I don't feel like it really fits the character.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
At least in game.
I guess the idea is that you're supposed to shuffle people under your turret, but yeah, it never really pans out that way. It's more just like...
Yeah, you just shuffle it under a regular turret.
It's like an anti-siege tool on like this weird engage control mage, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's... If he didn't have, like, already quite good wave clear, I could see this as, like, an interesting solution to be like, maybe he doesn't have good wave clear, but he can put up a tower to stall out the game as a late game mm-hmm. character. Like that's an interesting way to solve that problem. But like, what does this really functionally do? His passive? It's just like, he'll randomly toss one up in the mid lane, like before a dragon fight to get mid prio. It seems out of place. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like Adrian was saying, you just toss it up to stop a siege or to, mm-hmm. to hold a position. Which just feels kind of weird, but yeah. So we'll see how it yeah. winds up.
Up next, we've got Caitlyn. Base armor has been decreased by 1 point. Base attack damage is down 2 points. Like I said earlier, when we were talking about balance changes, I think Caitlyn, like thematically as a kit, all of her stuff is pretty fine. I don't think she's really problematic in that way. I just think that she was a little too strong at the moment, right? So these are very minor changes that, right, this is going to drop her win rate maybe 2% mm-hmm. because she does a little bit less damage and takes a little bit more damage.
Yeah, very, very statistically based for the change.
And boring changes. Yeah.
Next is Fizz. The mana restore on W is increased and his E playful damage is adjusted and the mana cost is decreased. Fizz is pretty bad right now, but hopefully this will help a little bit.
Yeah, so the mana restore just now, it doesn't cost anything. Mm. Doesn't cost anything to use it. Previously, I think it cost 10 mana.
That's cool.
At level 1. Yeah. So, good change. I don't know about upping his E damage, but that's okay. We'll see. Gangplank. Passive damage decreased. E now, his barrels now show all players how many kegs he has. And the keg recharge rate is now a flat 18 at all ranks instead of scaling down.
I think Trevor and I talked about this a little bit. I think the biggest problem, honestly, like he has a lot wrong with him, but the biggest problem is that he like gets like 4K gold in like a 30-minute game from his passive slash first strike in like an average game, which is a lot of gold for like it's an item.
Yeah, it's a lot. I almost feel like the value should be dropped by one each. Especially in the ability you will always max first. I feel like it wouldn't be that bad. And then, I don't know, then you get to bring him in line with some other characters. But I really think his passive just does too much damage. They're dropping it by, I guess, 60 at max rank, which isn't too bad. But a lot of times you're just reapplying it anyway. So I don't think this is going to drop him too much. He's still going to be... He's still going to get to abuse Essence Reaver. Still going to be really, really strong with Navori Spike. So we'll see.
It is weird. Like, so I saw the only Reddit discussion I've kind of agreed with about Gangplank is that Navori shouldn't give him more. It's the exact same damage in like worst case scenarios as IE. And it's like better in other scenarios, which is crazy. It feels like IE should be the bigger crit item, and then like Navori should be like less damage, but the cooldown should be like a huge benefit of him. Like, but I don't know.
I do believe that they've changed that recently. I'd have to go through the patch notes, but I'm pretty sure they changed it so he doesn't double dip with Navori anymore. Where it was previously, you'd build Navori, it would increase your Q damage, and it would increase your barrel damage, so you'd get to double the like value out of it. But I am fairly confident that they changed that recently to not be the case. It only applies from the attack, which would fix that if that's what you're talking about. Hello. I didn't know if I lost a. I'm sure we're looking it up or something right now, but
yeah. Do you want to move on then? Into...
I was just picking up Jester. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh,
Jinx.
He's on my
I don't think Dog should do the podcast with us.
Yeah, come on. They don't even know.
Or it should be a dog only podcast.
Wait, better idea. Yeah. our next character for patch notes is Jinx. Attack speed growth is increased. W mana cost decreased. The slow is increased. And then ultimate damage cap to monsters increased. So a very small little bit of bonus attack speed. 10 less mana cost on her W, and slow is up. Ultimate bonus damage cap against monsters went from 800 to 1200, so that is pretty significant. I think that that's really the only one of these that makes a huge difference, but it definitely opens up that nice objective steal with Jinxar.
Yeah, it's interesting. I almost feel like she's on the niche of being really, really strong. I think she's going to be a decent character once the BT overheal AD carry meta gets to solo queue. I think she's going to be pretty okay in that. But she really gets a lot of value out of going, you know, Kraken, out of going and then IE sack. Please don't go Navori, Jinx. We'll see. I think she's right on the edge of like super, super good. So I'd be curious to see if these actually change enough to make her, you know, pick ban.
Cool. Next is Kennen. Fuck anyone who plays this character. They're lowering his Q cooldown. His magic damage is being increased. The W range indicator for marked targets is added, and the E damage to minions is increased. Honestly, the only big change is like the E change. I'm wondering if it changes any of his values when he can like one hit waves and stuff with E W, but. I don't know. Fuck this character, though. I hope he's not, like, played again.
Yeah, I don't know. The Q changes are pretty big. It's 20 base damage at max rank, and then 10% more AP. But, yeah, that wave clear change is pretty nuts. It's a 30% damage increase from what it was previously, which is pretty big against minions.
It is, but also, like, traditionally, you max E last. So, like... adding 15% to the base, like 50 damage of E, is not going to be huge.
Do you really max it last and not second?
Yeah, like
wow. Okay.
Typically, traditionally, you max Q, W, then E. If you're going AD Kennen, you max E first because the attack speed goes up. And like, depending on like, I don't know, when I was playing Kennen, I would max E. Because I, one, missed a lot of Qs, and two, was just there to E at you, and then auto you 17 times, even though I'm, like, going AP. It's so good for lane, especially if you can't land Qs because you're bad at the game like me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, good Kennen players who do land Qs, max Q, and then W. Because that's, like, the easiest poke combo is, like, Q, W, and then if you are going to go for the stun, you know, you have your empowered auto... And you might also have like electrocute, and that's just a huge trade that they don't get to do anything about.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Canon changes.
Want me to talk about fucking LeBlanc? This is the worst change of the fucking batch. It's crazy. Her Q now refunds 100% of the mana and 30% of the cooldown upon killing a unit. Now deals bonus damage to minions and R bonus damage increase to minions replicated on RQ combo. So she just gets like an Annie lasting tool on her fucking Q now. Why are we giving the fucking assassin a fucking wave clear ability? Not wave clear, but like better like lasting.
A farming ability, yeah.
This is 100, like this is 1,000,000% a change of like, hey, LeBlanc's a fringe pick in competitive. Let's make her good in competitive because she's fun to watch. That's all it is. There's no way it's like actually like a like she needs this buff.
Yeah, I don't know
think she needs this buff. I think this is more of like a band-aid for bad LeBlancs than it is pushing her to competitive, because I think like in competitive, like LeBlanc players are still gonna last hit fine, and this is more of a band-aid for players who like can't get the auto attack last hits. It's just, yeah, it's a little weird. I don't think she really needs it because her W is already, like, good at clearing waves.
Yeah. I have come across a couple LeBlancs who have legitimately just made the game impossible to play. So I am wary of any LeBlanc buffs. But I also can recognize that the character is not super good in competitive. So I don't know. It's... I don't want to see this character buffed, but I guess if they had to make it a farming change and not like a damage change, that's good, right? So, I don't know. Cool. Pantheon's up next. This is one of the less bucket changes and more kind of focused changes. His base health regen is decreased. His attack speed is increased. Q cooldown is decreased early. His mana cost is decreased. The Q tap windup is decreased, and the E cooldown is increased late. So this is a buff to top lane Pantheon, and trying to get him back there. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know. It's I watched a lot of Spearshot, who thinks this is going to be a really good change for him. So we'll see.
Yep. Up next, Qiyana Q base damage increased. Let's see, by 20 at max rank. So it's the later ranks to get the damage. It's the same at level 1. E, cooldown, it decreased by 1 second flat. So not crazy high changing of numbers, but, I mean, plus 20 damage to an ability that you're going to cast 3 times in your combo. Like, that's significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not bad at all.
Cool. Next is Rammus, who's getting attack damage growth decreased and his Q base damage decreased. Too much Rammus, dude.
Too much Rammus. Too much of this character as well. Rumble, E magic as the shred is increased. The total shred on 2 hits is increased. So previously you could shred your MR by 20% at max. Now if he hits 2 harpoons, it's 40% at max.
It's so fucking
boy,
stupid.
Howdy, that's a lot.
It's just weird because like, he's good mid. He's just like this underplayed mid laner, and I think he's just fucking good both top and mid at this. Like, it's so good, man. I don't know. Rumble's fucking gonna be OP just based off of this. It's crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. The character, like, his overheat damage is absolutely insane. And the fact that I believe you can cast Harpoon while you're silenced, is
you can cast the second one while you're silenced if you've already cast the first one.
You can cast the second one. I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
On Jungle Rumble train.
I have played against some Jungle Rumbles and lost those.
Get
games.
It while it's good. Get it while it's so good. Up next, we've got Samira. Passive movement speed per stack increased. This is something that they just nerfed. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of putting it back. I don't think it's any better than it was before the nerf. So she's a little bit faster. That's about it.
Yeah, good undoing of those. Tryndamere, his health growth and AD growth are increased. Cool.
Twitch EAP ratio decreased, so down by 5%.
It's actually meaningful because that's 5% per stack. So it's actually like, is it 6 stacks or 5 stacks?
Six. Yeah,
it's like it's a good amount. So like he had the high. If you hit 5 stack or 6 stacks of his fucking passive, it's the highest AP ratio ability. Like it's a higher AP ratio than Nunu ult.
Yeah, it's fucked. I don't actually know how this character isn't more popular. I feel like his like trading pattern in lane is pretty easy as well. Like with Halo Blades, you proc an auto, toss W, and then finish autoing. And then there's, how do you trade against that? That's at minimum 4 stacks, you know, right there. Probably 5, probably 6.
And then like late game when you have AP, the W slow being like 85, 90%.
It has to be like 99% once you get Rabadons. It's insane. So yeah. Cool. This is the Xayah change that we've talked about. Hey, her E does, I think, 5 less damage. It's probably per feather, which may end up being, you know, sizable. But it also has 1 second higher cooldown, which I don't think will be sizable considering she goes Navori.
Yeah. Next is Yorick. He's getting his E bonus damage from ghouls decreased. I've seen a lot of Yoricks recently. He's like pretty good at split pushing right now.
Yeah, not a fun way to play the game, but I guess somebody's got to do it.
Yep. Zed, base magic resist decreased, E cooldown decreased at later ranks. I'm glad to see this. I think Zed is so strong if you can actually play him.
It's interesting. I was just thinking about this today, that Zed is Trevor's permaban. And I don't know why, but he plays the role more than I do. So
Zed's probably the only good AD assassin in the game, I think, right now. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that part of the reason why he's super good also is like, he's, if you play him well, he's so fucking hard to actually like deal with when he's jumping around between shadows in the late game.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, he just wins most lanes if you're decent at the character.
Yeah, cool. Next are all the jungle changes that we've talked about a lot. So the biggest thing is jungle damage. Yeah, you now do the bonus damage to all camps, not just your own camps, which is awesome. And then you get a lot more gold on a clear. It's like a full camp worth of extra gold for like a clear now. And jungle lane experience. You're getting even less jungle lane experience for the first 14 minutes of the game. So don't tax your lanes as much. You'll get way less experience. Go farm your jungle. We're going back to a farming meta, please.
Yeah, so some a little caveats on some of this, because I've seen some confusion or questions in the Discord. Plus 20% increased damage to all camps now as the jungler. So a lot of people, I think, thought before that you had plus 20% to your camps and minus 20% to enemy camps, and that this was just going taking away the minus 20. No, you get bonus damage to everything, so it's just junglers are better at clearing jungle camps than anyone else. That makes sense. So you're not going to clear your red buff or their red buff at any different pace. It's the same timing. So that's an important like thing to understand. The other one is the jungle lane experience. Again, you don't want to like permatax, but that doesn't mean that like you just never soak a wave. Obviously, that's going to be dependent on, you know, the game state, your pathing, what camps you have up. But just because the sharing and lane experience is decreased doesn't mean you, like, never soak a wave or never, like, stick around to help your laner push because you're not getting enough XP.
I also think it's important to note, so it starts at 40 to 75. It used to be 75. I bet you fucking money that in the fucking freak video when he puts out like a couple days or whatever, he always talks about making changes that look stronger than they actually are, look weaker than they actually are, by like just like it making a number 59 instead of 60 because it looks weaker on paper. You know what I mean? Like you try to incite stuff in people, right? Like a lot of like video games are feeling. I wonder if like it starting from minute zero is like a feeling thing. They want it to feel even worse because at 3 minutes, it's already gone up to 50, by the way. Because like the fucking... you're never being in a lane until 3 minutes anyways. Like, so it's not that... It's a big nerf, but it's like not as crazy as it sounds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was about to say that exact thing where it's like 40 to 75 scaling starting at 0 minutes. Okay, minions don't spawn until a minute 30. And like they don't matter until like 2 minutes. And as a jungler, you're probably never in a lane before like 2:15. If you're like, I guess like the absolute earliest is like probably at 2 minutes. If you take one camp and like immediately go to the lane, that's very rarely happening. You're probably, even if like you're doing a two camp like early gank, you're like 2.5 minutes. And then anyone else doing like any kind of reasonable path, you're getting into like the 3:30, 4 minutes, right? Where like that change is even smaller. Again, you know, 75 down to 50 or 55, significant, But it's, you know, it's trying to prevent the nonsense of like, I take one camp, immediately go bottom, gank, walk into the river, gank, walk into the river, gank, and like haven't taken anything. It's not saying that, you know, after you've done one full clear and reset it and then you gank top, that like you can't like help them shove the wave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other change in regards to jungling, sweeping lens, cooldown is increased early. Again, trying to prevent you from just like sitting bottom and sweeping and then like ganking and sweeping and ganking and sweeping.
Yeah. Cosmic Drive is being shifted to more damage. It's going to have no health, but 25 more ability power. The cost or the build path has been changed a little bit as well.
Rest in peace, Horizon Focus. Still... Sorry.
Yeah, that item's so bad. Please don't build it. Plated Steel Caps is now going to check for a wider range of auto attacks. This includes like Jax W and Nasus Q. It's going to reduce those as well. Seraphs is losing 10 AD and 50, or sorry, 10 AP and 50 health, as well as Archangels. So now we move into the rune changes. Grasp is, I think, going to be a little bit better for tanks.
No, for non-tanks. Question mark?
For non-tanks?
Yeah,
no way.
Because like so any base, like, so it's going from 1.7% for melee to 1.2% plus 3 base. Base is always going to be better on non-tanks. You're not health stacking. You have less health to like stack it off of. So it's a fucking buff to fucking bruisers for some reason. I don't understand. It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, as well as the maximum health that you gain permanently when you proc it is up by 2 for melee or 1 for ranged. Yep. So not only do they do like the lower health champions get to heal more now, they also get to stack
That's
more health faster,
wild.
So they don't have to buy health.
What a wild change.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is they're trying to make it so like it gives more HP but less heal. Less. They're trying to remove like sustain from the game. But like, holy fuck, this is just like it's not a huge change. Don't get me wrong, I'm not fucking like top lane's dead because of this. But like, it is a buff for fucking like Grasp Fiora, which I think is fucking stupid. Like.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a buff in the health stacking aspect, right? But not the
yeah. But they also
aspect.
Get that buff. Like, it's just like it's a nerf. Yeah. Like, if you want to look at like fighters versus tanks, it's like they both get the same buff for health. Gain. You could argue it's even a worse change for tanks because you have a bigger health pool, so it's like worth like less in theory. But like the fucking
yeah, and I also
is way worse.
Yeah, I also feel like tanks have way fewer options to access healing in their build path, right? Where it's like Fiora doesn't care that she heals two less from Grasp. Because she's going to have a Ravenous Hydra, right? Yeah. Whereas, like, the Ornn is like, damn, I get, you know, 5 less health from this. And there's no other way I can get healing in the store. There's no items I buy that give me that.
Yeah.
Another thing that does healing, Triumph. Heal on Takedown is changing from 10% of your missing health to 2.5% of your maximum health plus 5% missing health.
So I did the math, and I believe for every, I think I did like 1,000 HP, 2,000 HP, 5,000 HP. It's the break even is 50%. I don't know why they say 35%. It is the new Triumph is better at higher HP and worse at lower HP.
Yeah,
so
it
if
never
you need
fucking
like
procs a higher HP, so it's a fucking huge nerf.
Yeah, it's a pretty sizable nerf. If you're at like 75% HP, you heal more than you would previously. But if you're at 25% HP, you heal less.
Wait, no, that I feel like it does the opposite.
No, it heals more at like higher HP.
Yeah.
Okay, because before you got never mind.
Yeah,
I was seeing like it still currently heals you more the lower you are. But in comparison to the old system, it's better now at higher. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was very confused. I'm like, no, it's 5% of missing health that heals you more the lower you are.
Yeah,
but
if you think
you just get way more healing because it was a bigger percentage of missing
health. If you think about the amount of healing you receive from Triumph, like as a line, it's much more like they're flattening it out a lot more with this change, which is I think good.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of ARAM changes. They're removing Tower Rubble. Clash Bilgewater Cup is coming. It'll be, like Aiden said, the weekend, this weekend coming up, right? So
March 11th and 12th, and then the next one is March 25th and 26th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they released the champion pricing update. Definitely go take a look at that. TLDR, they're reducing the cost of owning all the champions by a pretty substantial amount. It's still going to cost a lot, but at least there's now some criteria for why they put them in certain areas.
They're only increasing the cost of four characters too. It's Ryze, Kayle, Singed, and Twisted Fate, I think.
Mm-hmm. Two of those being 450 champions previously.
They're all 450, aren't they?
Being
previously?
I don't know if Twisted Fate was. I think he was a
1350.
But yeah, Ryze and Kayle for sure were. So them moving up is not, I don't think, that bad. So
yeah, it's fine.
We'll see. It good changes overall. Some changes to the behavioral systems. There's a 1 minute queue delay if you AFK or leave games. Fix a bug where sometimes frequent leavers would not get a penalty.
That's sick.
That's interesting. 32-bit client is going to be leaving. If you dodge, it costs 2 more LP, and subsequent dodges cost 5 more. Lots of bug fixes. Hey, Prestige Broken Covenant Misfortune is going to be added. Oh, it's one of the skins. Okay, cool. I don't know why they listed it there and then below. We've got Broken Covenant Cho'Gath Misfortune, Nocturne Rakan, Zaya, Riven, Vladimir, and like I said, the Prestige Covenant Misfortune. That Cho'Gath skin looks so sick.
I have a bug fix that I want you guys to read really quick. I just posted it.
Okay. Fix the bug that caused some Kench's ultimate to sometimes not correctly interact with Radiant Virtue. Oh my god, this is a buff to Aiden. They have single targetedly
plus 5% win rate
buff for Aiden. 5% mental damage. Or like dude, the amount of times that I fucking lose when we're playing Flex and I fucking ult someone, I'm like, my fucking virtue didn't go off. I'm gonna fucking lose it.
Is it because you recasted it too quickly, or
I think it's mostly still happens on active? Allies. It's like it's all abilities that have like two parts to them had this bug at first, but they fixed all of them other than Tahm Kench's, I think.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. The only way that you could buff Aiden's mental even more is if they turned like minion sharing XP in top lane down to 0%, so his top lane's wooden strong.
Dude, that makes me so. It's every fucking game my jungler comes up and fucking ganks for me. It's crazy.
It's so funny that we are living the opposite sides of the coin, despite like,
yeah,
hey, gank for bot lane being the meta right now.
Oh, it's crazy, man.
Awesome. Let's hear about NordVPN.
Hey, it's NordVPN. They've been our sponsor for a while now, and they're the fastest VPN on the planet with over 5,500 servers all across the globe. And it's super fast and super easy to use. You've got one-click or even zero-click possibilities. You can get connected through a server in any country, anywhere you need. You're going to get super quick speed. You're going to get threat protection to try and stop anyone from tracking you or giving you like targeted ads or even stuff like malware if you end up clicking on a bad link because somebody DM'd it to you on Discord because their account got hacked. All that great stuff you get from NordVPN, as well as, you know, reliable encryption on your data. They've got a password storage system as well as like a secure cloud file storage system, all of which is backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee, where if you're a crazy person and for some reason decide that you don't want it anymore, you can get your money back within 30 days. All that's available to our listeners using the exclusive link at nordvpn.com/leaguecast. If you use that link, you're going to get a huge discount on your NordVPN plan, a bonus gift that is completely free, and again, all of that backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. One more time, that link is nordvpn.com/leaguecast. Get that big discount and that bonus gift.
Thank you, man.
Hell yeah. Let's go into guaranteed guffaws. We want to talk about Senna.
Yeah, just a brief thing. I didn't really want to go into a full deep dive of our build. We can talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But I've been watching a lot of NA Challenger League, which, by the way, is the most fun league to play. Like, watch. They fucking just pick random shit in every fucking lane. It's sick. You see Garen top. You see fucking Senna lanes bottom. You see crazy mid laners. It's so much fun, man. I guess, like, I wanted to say this because Senna's back. Like, we've obviously been talking about Senna Tahm Kench a lot. But, like, this past week in the, like, 10 or I guess 20 games they've had or whatever, Senna was picked in 11 of them and banned in like almost every other one of them. She was picked twice with Seraphine, 4 times with Tahm Kench, and then twice with Cho'Gath, and then once with Yasuo, Ezreal, and Karthus, bottom lane. Always playing Fasting Senna. Fasting Senna is definitely the way to play it. But she seems fucking crazy. Like, I know, like, this NACL is the first league to play on this patch. But there's no way fucking other leagues aren't going to start playing this. I mean, we've already seen like LCK start do it and stuff. But those players fucking build like trash every fucking game. It's fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to figure out, I'm like, what the fuck do you build in Senna? Because even when you're playing your deck, you're like, it's hard to figure out what to build on her. And mm-hmm.
It's difficult, yeah.
What I've come to the conclusion of is it doesn't really matter. She's just good with any item. The only item you don't want to build is what the Koreans are building. They build Heartsteel on her a lot. It's like her only negative win rate item. But I don't know. I think Navori's fine. I think going the Bork Rageblade build is fine. I honestly, if you can get to like IE with like a crit build, it's like really, really good. She just seems like insane in general. Obviously, Umbral Blade Glaive is still a really good item for like Ward Clear, but it seems like you have so many options and none of them are bad.
No, you do. Yeah. I find it difficult to fit in a mythic item because you, like, in the support role, you really want to go Umbral Glaive because it's a super valuable, you know, lethality item. And then you probably want to go a situational item. You know, I've been finding myself going up against a lot of magic damage threats, so I want to go Hex Shrinker, maybe sit on Hex Shrinker if I can, you know, go somewhere else, probably upgrade into Maw because it's that good. And then it's just like then what, you know? I need some armor pin, or I need some other durability. If I need to kill tanks, I'll go Bork. I think Bork is probably her best item if you can get away with it. It's just kind of expensive. But yeah, it's hard.
It's kind of expensive, and I feel like it's not like super strong components wise, right? Where like
sitting on the components feels bad.
Are great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've seen like a lot of Umbral into a second legendary and just kind of skip mythic altogether. I think the reason, like, obviously Umbral is super good because of the vision it gives, but it's also just a really cheap and really good build path item where it's not even that like you want or need Umbral. It's just that Umbral lets you win lane and get to two items. And if you get to two items, you'll get to three items. And if you get to three items, the game's probably over because you've got like 140 souls.
They have to nerf Dirk. I think Nick like nailed it on the head. Like, imagine having like, let's just say you're playing blind pick, you're playing Senna versus Senna. One Senna goes for the Bork builds and gets a fucking recurve bow, and the other Senna gets a fucking Dirk. Like,
yeah, it's just insane. Mm-hmm. And she has scaling with lethality in her kit, like on her Q.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's crazy. You know, if you're hitting six items, obviously you wouldn't want Umbral Glaive in that. But how often are you hitting six items in a game, let alone in a game as a support player?
Mm-hmm.
So plus, I mean, if you can build a longsword, you build a longsword, right? And then 400 gold to upgrade it into Dirk, and then you just sit on that until you finish. It's nuts.
It's such a super efficient build path. Again, like, I think Bork is one of the worst build paths in the game.
That's pretty bad, yeah.
Right, because like you're gonna spend 300 gold to get like a dagger, basically useless. Another 300 gold, 400 gold to combine it, and like even at that point, like the bonus on hit and all that attack speed is like very lackluster in stats. The difference between having a longsword and then spending 550 gold to upgrade it into a vamp scepter
as feels support so bad.
Mm-hmm. Feels like basically you spent zero gold, and like just like all of those components feel so bad. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just like, okay, I went back, I bought a Dirk and a longsword, and then I backed again and I bought two more longswords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Senna is very strong. She scales so well.
She's for sure gonna get some nerfs.
Yeah.
So.
I like seeing her though. I love seeing like different, like, I think Senna is a fucking boring character and I hate playing with it, but I do love every single lane that she gets to be played with. It's so fucking cool. So
yeah, I don't know if she's the most healthy for the game, like overall. I think she goes within, like, she swings between the character being super OP and the character being worthless to play. Yeah. I just think she, like you were saying, she just brings fun, like fun stuff out. And I think that's really, really good for the game, especially when a lot of bot lane metas can feel really, really stale. You know, if you're not seeing Caitlyn Lux, you're seeing Zaya Rakan right now, like maybe Lucian, Nami, less so in solo queue. But like, suddenly you throw in Senna and like, oh, any character can now be played.
I just remembered.
It's crazy.
Before Senna got buff, we were like playing that flex game and we played against someone who's a Senna one trick. And I was asking you guys, I'm like, okay, so your significant other plays League, but they're a Senna only player. Do you not play AD carry? Do you not play like AD carry support with them?
Yeah, it's tough. It's
when she's bad, man, she's just not fun to play bottom with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, if you're not playing a specific like plus Senna lane intentionally, it feels very bad as an AD carry to play with Senna. I think it's also, to me, I think it's good for the game when she is good, because she enables these alternate picks in the bot lane that at some point, hopefully, people will realize that, like, even though Senna is enabling them significantly, they are still viable without Senna or when Senna is not strong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, obviously, you know, Senna Cho'Gath is very good and Senna Tahm Kench is very good, but, like, there's not necessarily a reason that you can't still play Cho'Gath or you can't still play Tahm Kench bottom when you don't have Senna.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think Garen Yuumi was super good for a while. I think you can still play Garen bot.
Yeah.
It's situational, but, like, you don't need that support. It's just at its best with mm-hmm. that.
I think the big thing that Senna offers is that she becomes an AD carry when your team needs one.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Otherwise, you don't have the AD carry that you need. You know, you don't have one to hit turrets. You don't have one to hit Baron.
I mean, you have to draft shit like Trisbit or some cringe shit, right?
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of really, really strong, you know, Aiden, you play Quinn top.
Mm-hmm.
Vayne top's a pretty decent pick. If you can manage it, I'm sure Lucian in a solo lane is still fine. So you can find your source elsewhere. It's yeah, just like, I mean, having to draft that.
Fine.
Yeah, having to draft that in solo queue can be challenging. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, play Senna. That's what we're saying.
I just think she's super interesting. Short. Also, watch fucking NA Challenger League. It's so much fucking fun, man. Fucking just watching Moose Hater every game is so much fun. It's like he gets permabanned on Garen.
That's so funny. Who does he play?
He plays Fiora mostly. I like when he doesn't play Garen, but.
Gotcha.
Dude, him just watching him just fucking
play Garen.
I mean, that's his main, right? Like, it's the whole fucking combo. Yeah. Dude, it's so funny watching him play like beat some fucking like LCS like a player who's like washed up on fucking Garen. Just fucking take him to it's so funny.
Yeah. I also find it hilarious, like the world where they're having a conversation, like the other team, before the games, they're like, guys. Do we have to ban Garen?
Yeah,
and then like the fucking like draft coach is like, no, fuck you guys, it's Garen. We're never banning Garen. Just play the lane right.
I mean, it's like
it's like, I can't.
It's just so interesting, man. Like everyone, like it's at the level where like people still have like power picks, or like, you know, like when Froggen used to play Anivia and like, oh fuck, you have to play Anivia in any meta. We're obviously past that in actual League of Legends. Like no one has like these niche picks, or very few of them, right? Like
Bjergs and Zillion.
Like when they come back into meta a little bit, but like no one does that. And Challenger League is still in like the level of like, we see fucking Duo King play Zyra every other game. Like, dude, I think Zyra is fucking awful. But it's cool. It's really fun to watch. I'd really recommend it.
Yeah. I do think there's also a level there where they're just more willing to do it, mm-hmm. where like there are probably Premier Leagues that could do more of that successfully and just don't. And that might be because of the draft coach or the player. I'm not sure, but like,
and that's another discussion we can have, Colton. Like, I always talked about it a lot. Like, the reality is, pros are fucking lazy at like that level. Like, they have a lot of work. They scrim a lot. They have to play solo queue on. But like, they're so not fucking willing to like learn shit, man. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest example is like, you know, Malice. He's like the EU really fucking talented jungler. He played for Cloud9 Academy last year. Like. He plays all the solo queue like stompy characters, and he just played them in like NACL, right? Like he played Karthus, Evelynn, mm-hmm. Udyr, Hecarim, like all these fucking solo queue pup characters. And guess what started happening? Not they're obviously good characters. He's fucking like 20-0-ing every fucking game he plays. Teams didn't learn them. They just fucking would spend 5 bans on him. And it's like, it's fucking crazy, man, that like people are just so not willing to like learn shit, like unless it's like a new thing. If it's a new thing, they'll learn it. Like people learned Aurelion Soul, but they're just not willing to be like we saw Someday, I think it was either Someday or Impact play Garen top. I think it was Someday. But like I bet you we don't see another fucking Garen top Someday, game like next week, like even though Garen's obviously a good pick.
Yeah, and I think there's also definitely something to be said that like you are rewarded more for having a deeper champion pool at the higher levels, where it's like you can't exist as an actual one trick. And there's a spectrum there between like one trick versus like pocket pick main. Right, like, you know, Pioshik very, very good at Kindred, you know, maybe he's a Kindred main to some people, but like if he literally only played the character, then it's easy, ban Kindred, this person's bad now. Mm-hmm. And so like all of that additional investment into one champion at the highest level is very much mitigated. But like if you do play, let's say, four characters, and those are the only four characters you play, it's like, are they really gonna spend four bans against you at that level? Like, and if so, is that maybe enough that like your team then just gets like other crazy
yeah
shit?
it just makes me sad. Sometimes like I fucking love watching Malus play like Evelynn or Karthus and just beating people with it, and it's so sad that not mm-hmm. not a single other person played either of those characters.
I think pro play specifically has a lot of like, well, we're just going to stick with what works. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels super, super bad to not see them like adjust to the appropriate meta.
LS definitely talks the most about it. It's like comfort, right? Like when, like comfort. It's why you mm-hmm. rotate through like the same three sets of mid laner characters. Cause when one of the sets get nerfed, you don't find something, you just rotate to the next best set. You know what I mean? Like that you're comfortable on, right? Like the Syndra meta, yeah. The Orianna meta, the Azir, you know, all that shit. I don't know. It's very sad. I would love to see League of Legends in this perfect form where everyone could play anything. Like that'd be so sick.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah, and then, like, yeah, someone just comes out entirely out of left field, and it's like, we haven't seen a game of Lilia all year, but semifinals at Worlds, he pulls out the Lilia pocket pick and just dominates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be super cool.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's...
We'll do round table, then we maybe can get through one email.
Yeah.
cool, so last week's round table question was, what champion do you want to see in art and sustainability update? Similar to the ones that Caitlyn and Nari got, we got some responses on Twitter. Rindosa said Misfortune. I think it's a great answer. Rainbow Honeysuckle said, I feel like Zyra comes from a different game with how odd she looks and moves. She's also like fucking like 6'6 for some reason. She's fucking huge.
She's very big.
Sir Fishy said Amumu gets some more dynamic animations would be nice. The poor guy has less than 20 animations total, I think. Some new champions have more idle animations than Amumu's whole kit. He has the best crit animation in the game, so that's cool. And then Dragon Tabor said, I don't know why, but I feel like Jax would be cooler with an update. I feel like he's a little too big. Maybe give him a cowl instead of a poncho and have his body be like a shallow silhouette of what it looks like without the actually revealing him. Have a mirror image of him dodging during his W. Jax is the only original alpha character that hasn't got a visual update, which is crazy. But
that's wild.
Yeah, every other character's gotten some changes to them from the original lineup.
Wow.
Because there's the lineup picture of like the original cast and whatever. He's just so funny. He's the only one that looks the same. Mm-hmm. And then from our Discord, Arma said Vlad could definitely use one. Seeing a new skin made me realize just how clunky his animations are. There's only really an impact felt on his E. I agree. Last Mirai said Amumu would be nice. Maybe he won't be so lonely if he had more than 16 animations. And Dalimaru said, I think Cho'Gath is in desperate need of an ASU. It blows my mind that they hired the guy who made incredible artwork concepts of what that would look like, but only have used him to make cool Cho'Gath skins, like the new Broken Covenant one that's coming out. But what do I know? Yeah, I'm sure it's just like it's so much fucking work. But the Broken Covenant skin is a great example of like, imagine if Cho'Gath had a different model.
But yeah, super cool.
Yeah, cool. This week's roundtable question is: you're in charge of Riot's champion release team. What changes are you making to the greater scale of champion releases for upcoming seasons?
Ooh, this is tough. You know, I actually think I want to see more characters released like alongside one another. I feel like the Yone Lilia, like it came with Nexus Splits. It came with the Spirit Blossom event, which is super, super cool. People enjoyed a lot. And I think having that happen more frequently would be a good start.
Yeah, I guess like just add on to that, Nick. I would love to see another duo character. That'd be so sick.
Like, what do you mean?
Duo like Zyra Khan being like a duo release.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, that would be really cool. I like that.
They don't even have to like interact. I just think the idea of like two. Imagine if they release Yone and Yasuo together. Like, Oh,
that would be the sickest thing of all time.
Yeah, sure. Right. Like, yeah, they don't necessarily have to have like stronger synergy, but just like, hey, these play somewhat similarly or have thematic links or stylistic links. I'm gonna go like, I guess, kind of shout out to a Patreon show we did a while ago where we talked about somewhat unique mechanics. I would want to push towards using those mechanics more as opposed to continually introducing new ones. Like, okay, let's try and add another character with sleep. Let's try and add another character with brittle. Let's try and remove all characters with nearsight. Mm-hmm. Let's try and add a character with, you know, like we have these mechanics. Let's use them and elaborate further. Cause I think the other option is like, you know, putting them on existing characters that maybe fit the theme wise, but this is, I'm on the new champion design team, so I just have to put new characters.
You're not on the old champion design team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. If you want to tell us what you'd make changes to in the wider scale of champion releases, you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeagueCast. You can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's discord.gg/leaguecast.
Poggers. I think I'm not going to read the first one.
Okay, cool.
Because I think that'd be something we could reply to. Thanks for your email, Zach. Our first email is from Milkman. He said, "Hey guys, it's Milkman. I haven't emailed in a while, but I don't mean to shill other podcasts, but lately the Broken by Concept podcast has been brought up a few times in your most recent episodes. And as a follower of Coach Curtis and Nathan Mott, I wanted to try to give a TLDR for anyone else listening to you all talk about them that doesn't want to pour through the 3-hour video you guys refer to when talking about them. This is when they reviewed Nice's kind of
experience
climb.
In Korea.
Yeah. Anyone who wants to learn more, I recommend their Ultimate Season 13 Ranked Guide episode for a full in-depth view on their philosophy in the game. I am interested to hear your thoughts on their philosophy and what you think about their view on the game is. But to sum up the core ideas, they have, number one, getting better at League is a process. It's more like a sport, and most people thinking that it's a video game and you are either good or trash is detrimental to genuinely improving at the game. Number two, the above statement means that it's going to take hundreds and thousands of hours in the pursuit of mastery. They believe that you cannot even fully master a champion in less than 80 ranked games of League. This means that in order to achieve said mastery effectively means playing a lot without burning yourself out, which means that, number three, you have to use a process to effectively grind League. The average recommendation they give is the term 3 blocking. You play 3 games of ranked on your main every day. This can be adjusted based on your real life needs and schedules and such, but delegating a routine number of games played is the best way to both get over ranked anxiety and prevent tilt queuing 7 losses in a row. A part of this process also details a format for reviewing. This usually pertains to how you play the early game and focusing on your first 2 to 3 mistakes in the game, as reviewing a whole game can overwhelm some players and make them miss the point of what happened with a game. The approach to reviews is best utilized for moments where you go, what happened in this fight? Why was he able to kill me there? Or any other curiosity-based statement, because then you can really get into the details of what happened, whether you died to a roam because you didn't notice top leave on the mini-map 20 seconds ago, when you started Rift Herald. Last but not least, kind of repeating a lot of the League community about champ pools being small, but they actually don't recommend one tricking unless you really want to. Playing too many champs will not allow you to master champs and thus halt your learning on actual fundamentals due to dealing with learning matchups and builds and limit testing. Like I said, their video for the Ultimate Season 13 Solo Queue Guide explains this in much better detail, but I'm curious as to what your guys' thoughts are on this philosophy. I personally have started using some of the methods above, and I feel like a better player than I ever was for the past 9 seasons overall, and I'm having way more fun with the game than I ever did. There's also another concept of not worrying about your LP, and they even had someone in the community develop an LP hiding client tool that stops you from looking at your rank, so you focus on improvement. So I couldn't even tell you where I am right now, but we'll update after Split 1. Anyways, sorry for the atrociously long email, but this has been brought up way too much to not want a full discussion on. Have a great week, Milkman. Yeah, you outlined absolutely what I think we were going for as to like the benefits of watching the Nice video. If you want to watch that, absolutely go for it. It is well worth your time, and changing the mentality on how you view League is absolutely worthwhile, even just to make it a game again and not like a slodge grind, you know?
Yeah, For sure. I think like my biggest thing, I've watched pretty well every episode like for a while now. I think their mentality is really, really good. One of the coolest things that I've like, I think it's a really good way to do stuff that I've never heard before them was the, when you like review a game, there's like review endings, like things, right? If like one or two, like yeah, after yeah. like two or three things that you end the review, you focus on those things. You don't watch a fucking 40-minute game and then write down all 50 things you did wrong. The first three things that happen, those are the three things you're focusing on. You're going to focus on for the next three games, right? You don't overwhelm yourself. I think that's fucking brilliant. Like there's no fucking reason to fucking watch 40 minutes of gameplay and could be like, oh yeah, I fucking like butchered the wave here in minute 35.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like review ending being like such a huge mistake that like none of the other choices you make in the game matter because you're so far behind.
Yeah.
Which I think is a super smart way to do the review process. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of like other context the later and later you go into the game where it's like, oh, I took this fight here where I was down two items because of mistakes that happened earlier. And it's like,
yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not about that you took a fight that you're down two items. Like it's about what happened earlier. And I think that this particularly comes up with a lot of players who do blame their teammates is like, you'll get 40 minutes into a 45 minute game and be like, oh, see, right here is where a top laner got picked and then they got Baron because of it. Mm-hmm. That's why I lost this game. And it's like, yeah, that might have been the final straw, but like, how did the game get to 40 minutes? Why don't you have soul? Why don't you have inhibitors? What did you do to get to this point? Like, surely you did not play perfectly for 40 minutes before they got caught.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's always, and that's like, you look back and you say, my top laner lost that game. But that is the sort of thing that I think also is important to realize there. No one is playing perfect League of Legends, and there's always something for you to focus on. The only common factor in the games that you lose is you.
One thing that I do want to like say, I've been mentioning this a lot more recently. I do think there is some merit to like being annoyed and venting your frustrations about stuff. I think it's very healthy, by the way. I think it's like, as long as you're not actually like let's just call I'm gonna use you for example, right? You fucking like tank all that rank and you go, fucking this game's fucking bullshit, my bottom lane fucking sucks, whatever. I fucking played fine, dork ass bottom lane, right? That's fine. I think it's actually super healthy to like vent that frustration as long as you don't actually like go, the only reason I lost those games is because of my bottom lane. That's not your takeaway, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's fine to like be upset about stuff. And I feel like we have, there's times on our Discord where someone will vent their frustrations and everyone will jump in to be fucking Dr. ELO to like help them. And sometimes it's fine just to vent your frustrations and not want to like have something solved.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think that's just an issue of like specifically with our Discord. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of, I'll say like defeatism with reference to solo queue this split or this, season particularly that like doesn't make me happy to see. But yeah, like vent away. Mm-hmm. But as long as you don't like legitimately believe loser's queue exists.
Which is proven that it doesn't now, by the way.
Yeah, we can talk about that next week, I think.
The other side of that coin that I would also say is like, also, don't be flamey or like, we'll say, don't be putting all of that frustration into your team chat or into a direct message at somebody telling them to like do very bad things that are going to get you a chat ban or just banned permanently. Right. Where it's like, when I'm playing, and especially if I'm playing like, I'm like in a game with you or Trevor and like we're duoing, like I'm saying so much bad shit about my teammates that I hate and that they suck. But I don't type a word in chat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a very, very positive player if you just look at my chat logs. But I am constantly flaming my teammates, right? Because I'm just venting it out. But, like, it's not productive to put it into chat or to waste my time typing it. Like, it's not going to make them play better. It's going to tilt both of us. Like, I'm going to end up wasting time typing and then, like, be less efficient in my gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
Cool. So really good email.
Thanks for the email, Milkman.
Yeah, thanks for the email, Milkman. To everyone else who emailed in, we will get to it next week. But thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to send us an email yourself, it's mail@leakcastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardout, BlueBasket, and LeakCastFrost. Tweet at us at LeakCast. On Facebook, we're LeakCast. Visit our website, leakcastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeakCast. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeakCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week.
During the tournament. Bye.
Bye.